The Lord blessed the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles, but this gave rise to much controversy in the church, as some of the believing Jews taught that all converts to Christianity had also to keep the law of Moses. Paul had come back from his missionary journey in Galatia and was serving the Lord in Antioch. One day, some of these teachers came to Antioch in order to make the believing Gentiles in the church there comply with the Mosaic law. But Paul opposed them energetically. So these men then went off to visit the churches that Paul and Barnabas had founded in southern Galatia. And there they caused confusion among the Gentile converts by maintaining that all believers must be circumcised and had to keep the law of Moses. They claimed that Paul was not a real apostle and that what he preached was not the true gospel. When he heard about this, Paul was deeply troubled, because his work among these Gentile believers, his spiritual children, threatened to be undone. So he wrote his epistle to the Galatians. First of all, Paul asserts that his apostolic authority came from God and not from man. He states that it was by the will of Jesus Christ and God the Father that he had been sent. Then, after greeting the churches in Galatia, he broaches the main issue. "I am astonished," he writes, "that you have so quickly turned from the gospel of free grace to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all." And he pronounces a solemn curse against anyone who tries to pervert the gospel of Christ. He stresses the divine origin of his teaching, which he had received by direct revelation from Jesus Christ, and which had been approved by the apostles in Jerusalem. The leaders of the church had confirmed Paul's authority and message, declaring that he, Paul, had been sent by God to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been appointed to preach the gospel to the Jews. Paul reminds his readers that he had once been a leading protagonist of Judaism and had tried to destroy the Church of God until Christ and the gospel of grace had been revealed to him. In this letter, Paul energetically defends the doctrine of justification by faith. Both Jews and Gentiles alike are justified by grace through faith, entirely apart from any observance of the Mosaic law. God receives whoever repents and believes in Jesus, because his Son bore the sins of all believers on the cross and took their punishment. This gift of justification and eternal life is entirely free. No one can deserve or earn it. It must be accepted by faith. When this happens, a new life begins for the believer. Faith in Christ unites him to the Savior, so that the death and resurrection of Jesus become the death and new life of the believer. Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me." Christ lives in the believer by his Spirit. Paul reminds the Galatians that long before the law existed, Abraham was accepted by God because of his faith. So all who believe are the spiritual descendants of Abraham, the believer, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. They are therefore heirs of God according to the covenant promise made to Abraham and to his posterity. Paul explains that the Mosaic law was given later because of sin, until Jesus had come into the world. The law therefore leads to Christ, who redeems the believer from the curse and condemnation that come from breaking the law by being made a curse for us on the cross. Believers are no longer in bondage to the law, but are free through faith in Christ, without distinction of race or social standing, for all, both men and women, are one in union with Christ Jesus. The only thing that counts for salvation is faith expressing itself through love. The believer's liberty, however, must not be used to gratify sinful human nature. Paul exhorts the Galatians to safeguard their freedom by putting into practice the law of love and service, which is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. Live by the Spirit, he says, and do not satisfy the desires of sinful human nature. If the Spirit directs the believer's life, he will be able to resist the passions and desires of his corrupt nature and produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Paul ends his letter by warning his readers that each one will reap exactly what he sows, either a harvest of death, if he sows to please his old corrupt nature, or a harvest of eternal life, if he sows to please the Spirit. So let us not become weary of doing good, he says, for in due time we will reap a harvest, if we do not give up. But all must be done in a spirit of humility. As a conclusion, Paul states, "As for me, may I never boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." Next episode, the Council at Jerusalem.